from North Hills Automotive, where we talk about it done right, on time, first time, guaranteed. If you need to get your car, any kind of car issues, no matter how big or how small, let's get with North Hills Automotive, Butler Road and Augusta Street, both locations. Make those online. Go to northhillsauto.com. But let me just tell you about the fleet stuff, the Pro Fleet Solutions. If you're a business out there, you cannot have any of your fleet down. I mean, the van's down, the cars are down, and you can't have this. And when Jacob mentioned that about Pro Fleet Solutions, I was like, man, we can sell this. There's a lot of businesses out there that know it. Let's get with them and let's let their guy. They have a guy that's all he does, and he works with these fleet companies, and he knows how to get it because you got to get it back on the road as soon as possible. North Hills Auto can do that. But done right on time leads me to times of what sporting events are coming on today. We got a lot of afternoon baseball today for you baseball fans out there. 12:35, Angels and Orioles. 12:40, A's and Reds. 1:10, Mets and Guardians. 2:30, Pirates and Brewers. 2:20, Blue Jays and Cubs. 4:10, Tigers and Mariners. Afternoon baseball. Love that. 6:05, Nationals and Phillies. 7:10, White Sox and Red Sox. Marlins and Braves. 7:15 tonight. You can hear that one here. Also, Clemson basketball today at 12:30. The final of the two games, actually the middle game, you get that one. And also Twins and Royals, 7:30, and Braves and D-backs at 9:40. And the Wyndham Championships. So you can watch and listen. PGA Tour comes on today. And that coverage begins on the Golf Channel today. And just for your leaderboard from a local standpoint, JT Poston, 807. Andrew Novak, former Wofford player, 12:43. Lucas Glover, 1:05 today. So that's your tee times there. Remember, at North Hills Auto, done right, on time, first time, guaranteed. Now, let me just give you this quickly about North Hills. They have an annual inspection program. This is a no-brainer of all no-brainers. So with it, every year they're going to look at your vehicle, and they're going to put it through 120-point full vehicle inspection. That includes everything about your car, 120-point inspection. And so you're saying, what's that cost, Mickey? Well, you stay ahead of everything. That's $119.95. But with it, you get 4 free oil and filter changes too. That's a no-brainer. So they stay on top of your car, like keep up with what I was going. They prioritize whatever you might need to be repaired on it. But the 4 times you change your oil, it's only $120 a year, and they can put it through 120-point full vehicle inspection every year. I love that. Check out what Jacob. But when Jacob told me that, I'm like, man, these are no-brainers here. NorthHillsAuto.com. Butler Road and Augusta Street. Check these good folks out, NorthHillsAuto.com. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. You okay?
Great. Okay. I'm great.
All right. On the thing that Chad talked about, where he classified as Disney, I don't think that's unfair. I've got some texts pushing back on Chad and some texts supporting Chad. Chad's a content creator. We know that. The Disney thing, if you look at it and you're losing, you say, oh, yeah, it's got to be Disney and that. I get it. But that's more of Paul Journey and graduation and getting these guys prepared. That's more of culture that Dabo has built. And just let me tell you this. In almost 20 years now, how many years have you been head coach here? Is it 2009? Is that where we're going back to now? Like, we're cut up on 20 years. The man has built a culture here, and that is extremely important to him. And he's not going to watch the culture voluntarily deteriorate. It's hard to do it now in the NIL in the portal era, but you know this is near and dear to him. He cares more about these people than he does more about them as people than he does as players, and more about life than he does winning and losing. So that you could classify it as Disney, and I get it. And while I might not like all the feel-good stories, I love the feel-good stories when they work. I don't like the feel-good stories when they don't work. But he's built this culture, and he's built this thing around serving these players and around Paul Journey and around graduation, or here to graduation do his part. Like, he's not going to run players off. He's not going to do some of those things others do. And as Clemson fans forever, when you're winning, you took a lot of pride in it, and some still do. I know Clemson fans and some of the text members that will say now, I'd rather lose with Dabo and do it the right way. Do it the Dabo way. And some of you out there, I don't care about that. I just want to win now. That's a little bit different because he was doing it and winning. And he's still doing it and winning, last year aside. So, does that make sense? Am I saying that right, Ashby? Mm-hmm. That it's going to be done in a culture that he has built, and he will not sit back and let that, if he can control it. I don't know if you can control it now in NIL in a portal era. You can recruit the kind of kids you want in the program, the kind of kids can be attracted to your program. That's a natural fit both ways. But with that said, I do think it has to be harder now than that was before. I think if all other things equal, I do think he'd like to have the Disney aspect of it, maybe. But I don't think at the expense of losing, because I'll say this about Dabo, of all the things, he has a fascinating personality and personality traits in a lot of ways, but to me, one of the defining attributes is competitive, and he's not going to sit back and lose if he can help it. I mean, winning is paramount still.
He loves a underdog success story because he was one.
Yeah.
He's always going to want to support
former
players, people that he sees potential in, people saw potential in him.
Yeah.
That being said, and Texter makes a really good point talking about this, he did go out and get some big-time proven coaching talent of guys that have been in the NFL. I think that there are 6 coaches on this staff that have been a head coach at some point.
Right.
Either at the college or NFL ranks. So, like, it's not like he's just going out and getting all these Disney stories. Like, I'm sorry, Matt Luke is not somebody that's like, oh, Dabo, underdog. There's a lot of people on this team that are not that. And there's a lot of talent that isn't. Let's call that what it is.
Don't you think that is a reaction to the failed previous hire, not trend or whatever, but... But when he went through in replacing who he replaced, and it didn't work, and now you're going to – I mean, Rich Passaccia is a great example of it. And Rich was here before. He was one of my favorite people before. Wasn't at first, but was at the end, but one of my favorite people before. But that's not a feel-good Disney – Rich Passaccia is a hard-nosed football coach.
Correct.
That it would have been, from a special team standpoint, you know, you go back to a former player and come back and being the guy. You know, that would have been the Disney story.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than – or Matt Luke. He had Thomas Austin, great guy, great football coach and all that. But Matt Luke's a different – that's not the homegrown Clemson graduate coming back and doing it inside the program and one of my guys kind of a thing. Tom Allen, rather than the previous defensive coordinator growing up in this organization, tried to do it, didn't work. And so you go outside and Tom Allen. Tom Allen's not a Disney hire.
No.
So – all that because you want to get better and you want to improve through all that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I understand the frustration. I do, especially after last season. And I understand the frustration of not going to get a portal quarterback. I understand. But to me, I think you got to give it a couple games before you see the benefits or the failures of that.
Yeah.
And somebody pointed out a couple quarterbacks on the text line that they wish Clemson would have gotten. I don't think that's the kind of person, the kind
in
of
the
player
portal.
You want.
In the portal.
Yeah. Like, what portal guy did you guys want? That's my question.
I don't know.
It's interesting.
I think Josh Hoover's a better quarterback than Christopher Messina.
Agree.
Are you going to go outbid Indiana? Indiana was more marketable. It was more attractive than Clemson, a quarterback. And more money, probably.
Just
yeah, no doubt.
National championship.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Who else would, you know, I don't want the LSU dude, the Arizona State dude.
Sam Levitt? No.
Yeah, I don't want Levitt. I think Levitt's a turd sandwich. I don't want to be involved in that. But there were other ones. I mean, I would love Minshew. I'd love the Harvard kid to come in and compete. And maybe Vecina beats him out. But I would like to have competition there.
Well, I think that's what you have in Tate now.
Yeah, but I like to have three companies. And one leaves, but I'd rather have, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
And again, I hope I'm wrong about that part of it. But the one thing about that is, like, everybody in the building was saying it too, though. So it is a clear line drawn in the sand, and he will get all the credit in the world or all the blame in the world based upon that. My guess is that it will be sort of like Jack Smith, though. My guess is Vecina would be like Jack Smith in that he'll be pretty good, and he won't be the reason you lose games. Jack Smith was not great last year, but he was pretty good. And there's not a single football game that Clemson lost last year because they did not take a transfer portal quarterback when all the clamoring was, you have to go get a quarterback, you have to go get a quarterback. I mean, a punter. Jack Smith can't do this. You have to go get a punter. And Dabo said, no, I believe in Jack Smith. And he went with him. And it wasn't the greatest punting ever, but it wasn't bad, and it didn't cost him any football games. Can you point any loss last year that was on Jack Smith's shoulders? I can't. So, he kind of won that one. And he won the Hunter Renfro thing, and he won the Grady Jarrett thing, and he won all these. And a texter makes a good point. Had all the bad talk about Dabo and what they're going through now, had they just got the quarterback right the last 5 years, then we'd be talking about a whole different narrative. And I do believe that, too. Now, I do believe that that's hard to do. Because, as we know, on five-star quarterbacks, half of them turn out and half of them don't. And this is a crazy thing to think, but you're pretty much in a very, very simple world, to oversimplify it, as go your quarterbacks, as goes your team, and the ones that get it right, it works. Nussmeier didn't get it right with Nussmeier last year at LSU. And that's part of the reason why Brian Kelly's not there anymore, and it's part of the reason why LSU went 7-6 last year. Had Nussmeier been what we thought he would have been, LSU would have done that. It's part of the reason why Texas didn't make the college football playoff last year is because in the first part of the season, that they were awful. Arch was awful at Ohio State and awful at Florida, and that cost them the college football playoff. When you get it right at quarterback, part of the reason why Alex Golish is at Auburn right now is because they didn't get it right at quarterback. Jackson Arnold was not the guy, and Ashton Daniels was not the guy, and Deuce Knight was not the guy, or at least early enough was not the guy. Part of the reason why everybody was so high on Shane Beamer and so high about South Carolina football going into last year was that the North Sellers was supposed to be the guy. And when he wasn't the guy and it didn't work out, then Shane Beamer's probably the biggest guy on the hot seat in the SEC right now. And that's a guy that there's no way you could have predicted. Well, we did a little bit here on the show saying that Illinois gave you the blueprint for the double spy type stuff. And the NFL deal of he's going to try to prove he's a pocket passer rather than the guy's going to use his legs. He's going to protect his body through all that. But for the most part, South Carolina fans last year were on cloud nine. This was a Gamecock love fest last year. And the reason was because he ran it up and down the field and beat his arch rival Clemson. And we thought, man, Lenore Sellers is ready to explode. And instead, he imploded. And had DJ Uiagalelei played better, and if Cade Klubnik had played better, then we'd feel totally different about Clemson's football program right now. They didn't. Trevor played great, and Deshaun played great, and that's why he felt great about it. So, we'll see. But no, I don't want DJ Lagway. DJ Lagway is the reason that Billy Napier got fired. And I don't want to text you how DJ Lagway doing Clemson's new offense.
He'd
terrible.
Throw a lot of picks.
He'd be terrible. He'd be just what he was last year. He'd be terrible. So I don't want that. All right. Did we answer chat's question?
I think we got close.
Okay. I just can't believe you're so Bama biased over there. So Birmingham Bama biased. Did you take offense to that?
No.
Don't. I would just tell you don't.
Of course not.
Right. That's Chad. He's going to – that's the Billy Quawk and all that. Don't take offense to all that. First day of practice. Well, tell you what happened in Georgia yesterday, too. Got a lot to do. Love to hear from you. Much more on the other side.
The countdown is on. Is on. 30 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Randall to the right-hand side of Klubnik. And they'll go play action. They want to go long. He's open. Wide open. Touchdown, Wesco. Right. Tanya Calder.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Engineered Sleep, engineeredsleep.com. Man, oh, man. I did my my month of July report on my sleep, and it was encouraging. And part of that was that little Isle Ann's all cuddled up over there with some naps now. School's back and all that, so my sleep debt has gone away. We sleep awesome. The Kling technology. Ashby, this is a deal that you would think, okay, it's a pillow top type situation. It's a top on top of a base. And it's about, I don't know, 8 inches thick or so. But it doesn't move. So you're thinking, oh, it's on top of something. Well, it's got to move out. It would be hard to move. No, vertically you can lift it up and when you need to change it out. But it doesn't move. It's great. What a great technology. That's the duo part of the mattress. And that's what saves you money long term, because you can only replace the top rather than the bottom. And, man, what a great support that's going to be for you. And then on top of that, the overall system is so much more affordable than the top ends of other ones out there. The ES Duo is the best mattress in the world. The Roar listeners know this, and they know they get the discount. They know they get your pickup and your the takeoff of your old mattress out. Like, I don't know what to do. How do I dispose of a mattress? I don't know. They do that for you as well. 95,000 square foot place over there, facility over there. I encourage you to go by there and try them out. Just lay down and Goldilocks it. Too hard, too firm, too soft, just right. Let them take care of it for you. 100-night sleep trial. They're going to get it right in the first 100 nights, or else you can return it, and they'll make it right for you. Engineer Sleep, engineersleep.com.
Forget the national noise. We are real talk for real fans.
What happened to the Dixie Chicks? That's all I'm saying. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Carolina Flooring Specialist, garage floor amazing. Here's what I'm telling you about our garage. It's going to be a golf mecca in there now. And it's also a playhouse mecca and a bicycle mecca and a storage mecca. But we spend time in our garage. And people's like, I would never spend time. First of all, I didn't have a garage growing up. And we did, but my dad closed it off, put his boat in there. Like, that was it. Nobody parks in there. Nobody does anything in there. Because we had a concrete floor in there. We had oil stains. We had cracks in it. Now, we've got this awesome floor that's clean and safe. And my kids can crawl around it and walk around in it and drop stuff in it. We wipe it up, and this is awesome. The most experienced garage floor out there, your garage flooring company. Saw one of their vans yesterday. It's Carolina Flooring Specialists. Call them today. Family-owned business, the most experienced out there since 1999. 404-8158, 404-8158. I wanted to give me a topic to talk about here, something you want to do in a segment 8 like we did yesterday. But I wanted to give you three teams. I did this rave review of Indiana football on Monday and Tuesday of this week. And I also told you how much I like Notre Dame, how much I like Southern Cal, how much I like Oregon, how much I like BYU. And I kind of ignored those were the teams I liked outside of the ACC and the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just quickly give you three. And I'm not, when I gave you those, I didn't give you Ohio State. That's an obvious one. All right. I'm not going to give you Georgia. I told you before, I love Georgia this year because Georgia is experienced and they're stable in their staff and their quarterbacks and all that. Texas is extremely talented. And when Arch Manning hands it to Hollywood Smothers or throws it to Ryan Wingo or throws it to Cam Coleman, it's going to be good. I mean, you talk about the Johnnies and the Joes rather than the X's and O's. Those Johnnies and Joes are good. I told you, I don't believe in Bama. But let me give you the three teams. No one's really talking about ACC and SEC. People are talking about Miami. But Miami is light years ahead of everybody else in the ACC. You were up there in Charlotte. I don't know if you got the same feeling. Get your thoughts on this. But we're talking about when it's going to go good. When Darren Mensah hands it to Mark Fletcher, it's going to go good. When he throws it to Malachi Toney.
All-purpose.
All-purpose guy. It's going to go good. The Dallas Cowboys won Super Bowls because Emmitt Smith was toting it, and Troy Aikman was throwing it to Michael Irvin. Nate Newton got a lot of credit, yeah, but this thing was you were able to be balanced, and everybody else was able to play off of those guys. A three-headed monster leads it, and that's what Miami is this year. Fletcher is an absolute beast. You can't tackle him. And Tony's a guy that you can't hem up in a phone booth. And Mensah is maybe the best quarterback in the country, or at least in the conversation. That's going to go really well for them. Miami is light years ahead of everybody else in the ACC this year. two that no one are talking about. I think this is finally the year. Last year was the year until they lost their last two football games because they were number three in the country, and they went to Texas and got exposed, and then they scored 3 points against Miami. But Texas A&M, I think that they're ready. I think Marshall Reed is ready. Marshall Reed, I can make an argument Marshall Reed is the best athlete in the country in college football.
I would love to hear the argument.
You watch him play point guard in high school. He's a college basketball point guard. He is great feet. He's not a great passer by any stretch of the imagination. But last year, 25 touchdown passes, a guy that threw for 62% and threw for enough. Let me put it that way. He throws for enough. But his feet, his escapability, the pressure he puts on you, and I think that he is still developing as a passer. And it helps that you can hand it to Reuben Owens, and it helps you can throw it to Craver and to Bethel Roman and to Horton and Richie Anderson, a really good tight end that they have. All that's going to help and play out. But I think Marshall Reed is good enough as a passer and developing as a passer. Reed last year, 3,100 yards passing, 25 touchdowns. Now, the 12 picks were too much. But when you look at it, much like we talked about with Lenore Sellers and some of these guys, last year in the two losses, well, let me back up. They were 11-0. He had 25 touchdowns and 8 picks. In the two losses against Texas, 20 of 32, 180 yards passing, no touchdowns, 2 picks.
And there you go.
And he won 3 points against Miami, 28-39, 237 through the air, no touchdowns, 2 picks. When they struggled in the South Carolina game in the first half, 2 picks. You take away that LSU game last year, he had 2 picks in that one. He's got to stop throwing to the other team a little bit. But I think he's developing as a passer. He threw for 360 yards against Notre Dame last year on the road. I think that he's developing as the LSU game, he rushed for 108. I don't want him to do the North Sellers things and forget about the feet and the legs. But, man, they're good enough in a lot of areas. Reuben Owens and, like I said, the wide receivers they had, the Concepcion's gone, but those other guys coming back, they're good enough there. And they're good enough on both lines of scrimmage now to get the thing done.
Yeah, you talked to me midway through the season last year. I thought he was the front runner to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
Truly.
But you can't go in your two biggest games of the year, your arch rival and your playoff game, you can't go no touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
Exactly. Potential's there for that to be his season this year.
Yeah.
I'm a big Marcel Reed fan. I think he is crazy athletic and accurate enough for them to win games. I don't know if he's accurate enough for them to go where they want to go at the end of the season.
He's got to make a living in the pocket, but he cannot forget that the play will break down, and when it breaks down, he has to go put the cape on and make a play.
Has to take off.
Right.
That's the kind of guy, like Taj Boyd a couple weeks ago was talking about quarterbacks that can be superheroes, right? Mm-hmm. And feeling like you have to be a superhero versus knowing when to be Clark Kent, when to be Superman.
Yeah.
This is a guy that has that Superman ability because of that athleticism and all those kinds of skills that you can't teach, you know.
I love me some Taj Boyd.
Oh, I do too, man. He's awesome.
Give me more Taj Boyd. All right, let me give you my final team.
All right.
BV, Oklahoma. Oklahoma returns their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, their quarterback, and their head coach. And the quarterback last year was not what we thought it was going to be, and that's due to an injury. Mateer earlier in the year was great. It was not great in the middle part of the year when the injury happened. The no touchdowns and 3 picks against Texas was the reason they lost that game. And from there on out, he was good, not great. He threw 3 picks against LSU. He shouldn't have done that. He was good but not great. In the Bama game, they asked him to do too much in that one. He's good enough with his feet. If he is healthy, I like the guy I saw against Michigan. I like the guy I saw against Auburn. I like the guy earlier in the year. So if he's healthy, year two with Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator. Year two at Oklahoma. Year three with Arbuckle because he was at Washington State. So I like that a lot. I think there will be – they've got to be able to run the ball better. Last year they couldn't run it. And the thought there is that Blaylock, as a sophomore, will be a better back, and you go get a Xavier Robinson, and maybe they're better. But they've got to run it more for 100, than 118 yards a game on the ground. I think they feel better about the offensive line. But there's a bunch of stability on defense. And last year, this defense gave it 15 points a game. And last year, this team, they were in every game. I mean, the Texas game when Materi, you know, was hurt, that wasn't one. But I didn't like the defense in the Mississippi State game. Outside of that, the defense was very consistent the entire year. Maybe outside of the losses, they weren't. The Alabama game, they didn't play great defense there. But in the second Alabama game, the first Alabama game, they played great. But they've got a bunch of guys coming back on defense. There's stability in the program. I think he's gotten over the hump. And there's a couple of games last year that proved to me the mental toughness of this football program. When he went to South Carolina on the road after the Texas loss, and they into a pretty difficult environment, and they just slapped South Carolina right in the face, where he physically beat up South Carolina last year. That proved an awful lot to me. And then, after the Mississippi loss, in back-to-back weeks, this program went to a hostile environment in Neyland and won a game, and went to a hostile environment in Tuscaloosa and won games. I think those are the over-the-hump games now. I think BV feels more comfortable there now. Mateer healthy, both coordinators coming back. Venable's the defense coordinator, basically, but Arbuckle coming back. And stability in all those position guys on defense. I like Oklahoma. I think they've got a great chance.
I'm a mature person. I think he's a good player.
When healthy. Yeah. Now, there is one caveat to that. They go to the big house. They go to between the hedges. The Red River rivalry against Texas. They got to go to the swamp. They get A&M at home. They get Ole Miss. I mean, this schedule is absolutely
brutal, yeah.
Murder.
Gauntlet.
Let me give you this little morsel, this little nugget. All right? We just had the AP poll come out. They play number 3 Georgia on the road. They play number 4 Texas in a neutral site deal. They play number 8 A&M at home. They don't get Bama this year. They don't get LSU this year, which is good for them. They play number 16 Michigan on the road. And that does not include – well, Ole Miss. They play number 10 Ole Miss at home. That does not include at Missouri. Madam Chairperson, that does not include Missouri. That does not include South Carolina at home. That does not include Kentucky at home. Potential trip-up game there. That's a tough schedule. Michigan, Georgia, Texas, at Florida, Ole Miss, A&M, Missouri. That's pretty tough sledding. So while I like Oklahoma, remember last year where they had to go do it at South Carolina, at Tennessee, and at Alabama? Put it this way. They went 4-0 on the road last year in the SEC. They're going to have to do it this year. But I like where BV has them right now.
I feel good about this team. I think the potential holdups are scary.
Yeah.
I think you cannot afford to drop a game should be a win, you know,
yeah.
Maybe more than anybody else. Like, you cannot go down to a Florida and lose.
Yeah.
You can't lose at Missouri. All of those have to be successful. And so you got to avoid traps and pull off some combination of Michigan, Georgia, and Ole Miss and A&M. Like, that's tough.
The hope, if you're Oklahoma.
Got to get two of those.
The hope, if you're Oklahoma, is you're pretty good at wide receiver. Phil still has him 13th at wide receiver. He's got them 9th at quarterback. The running backs aren't great. What does he have them running backs? Running backs aren't great. There's question marks. They were not able to run the football at all last year.
Mm-mm.
And that's a big deal for them.
Defense is going to be nasty.
Yeah, but let me give you that for defense. That's what I was going to tell you on defense, all right? And the offensive line is okay, but not great. Defensively, here's his unit rankings for Oklahoma. The nation's third best defensive line, the nation's fourth best linebackers, and the nation's sixth or eighth best secondary. Defense can be nasty and
nasty.
Short break. Final segment of a Thursday show. Where did that go? No Strelo today. Oh, by the way, we gave Paul the day off there, but he'll be back with us next week. But final segment after this.
Looking to rile up one of our hosts?
Just want to have a chat with a fellow fan?
Whatever the reason,
give us a call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line
at 864-654-4.
And your dad and your mom, when you sign your first mortgage, they're going to be there for you and, like, walk you through it. My first mortgage, man, I was in shambles. Like, I was so intimidated. I didn't know what we were doing and how to do it. And it was like, oh, this is so stressful. And, like, I'm signing my whole life away. I'm owed millions of dollars. I'm like, ah. I got to pay 360 payments on something. Like, what? Well, my last two were with Prime Lending. And one was a refinance deal, which they came to me. Mark came to me. He's like, Mickey, your current rate is this. And now I can offer you this. And let me tell you what, this is going to save you every single month. And you're crazy not to do this. And so let me put together the package. And he did, and it was awesome. And then I went to Mark because when Mary and I got married, we gutted our entire house. We had four walls.
Really?
Yeah, and we redid everything. Eric Newton came in and redid everything for us. We all new wiring for electrical stuff, and the entire house we just redid. And so I went to Mark, like, man, let's talk about budgets and what we could do. And he worked it out. Actually, we bought it, like, on the future value of the home, which was awesome. So it's really cool. So anyway, with that said, both of those were just easy. Let Prime Lending be one of your three. When you're buying a house, when you're refinancing, when you're remodeling, it's Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. You'll love that for sure. Texas wants to know your pick for Greenville County AM this weekend at Furman. Oh, man, the usual suspects, those great players. I'm going to offend some folks by saying, but all those guys, man, that play every single weekend and play at a high level, talking about amateur golf in the upstate, man, there's some really, really good players. And I didn't know it was this weekend because the Budweiser's at basketball this weekend. Don't call it Budweiser, but the Longhorns at basketball this weekend. So you got two big amateur tournaments in the upstate.
Pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I want to do something here in this segment, with your permission.
Of course.
Of looking at Clemson when they – and we got to fly through it, but when they get the teams. So my point is that oftentimes football seasons are long, and there's ebbs and flows, and there's peaks and valleys. And when you play a team – and what that team looks like is paramount. Because, let's face it, when Clemson played LSU last year, they felt great about themselves. And I mean, LSU was ranked third in the country. They went, you forget about it, they were 4-0. And LSU was third in the country after the first 4 weeks. And then they went on to lose 4 out of 5. And the only team to beat was South Carolina. They lost at Ole Miss and lost to Vanderbilt, lost to Texas A&M, lost to Alabama, and lost to Oklahoma, and they went 7-6. So my point is, if you played LSU in November, where Nussmeier's not the quarterback and Brian Kelly's not the coach, then that feels different than playing them in week one.
Totally, right? Totally, yes.
And, you know, last year, Georgia Tech, when Clemson played Tech, it was game 3 of the season. Georgia Tech last year, when they fell apart in November, when Pittsburgh went in there and stole their lunch money, wood chipped them, boat raced them, whatever you want to say. I like all those. It felt different than it felt in September when they were ranked in the top 10 in the country in October. And Syracuse post-injury felt different than Syracuse then. And SMU, it feels different. In South Carolina, if you played South Carolina in week one, the Gamecocks had fallen apart by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And 4-8, when you played them, they were 4-7. If you played them in September where they're ranked 12th in the country, whatever, that would have been different. So when you play someone, it's important. Now, LSU game one, game day, zoo, ambush, Death Valley 2.0, yeah. Georgia Southern, that doesn't really matter. Let me give you this. North Carolina, they open up with TCU in Dublin, an open date, East Tennessee State. They're going to be 1-1 or 2-0. That will be a different deal now. This game's in Clemson, and Clemson's going to beat North Carolina. But if they beat TCU and then they beat East Tennessee State, which they will, that feels different. They got a little momentum on their side. You see my point?
Totally agree.
And they're going to lose to TCU, I feel like.
Well, last year when Clemson played North Carolina, Neil was already in the coffin for that team.
That was it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it proved an opportunity for
they
Clemson
were two
to bounce
and two,
back.
And their wins were against Charlotte and Richmond, but they got blown out by TCU and they got blown out by Central Florida. And then Clemson puts up 28 in the first quarter. Yeah,
that
they were
was,
done.
That was a feel-good opportunity win for Clemson. Everybody knew that going in.
Dunzo. But if you're Clemson facing a 2-0 Tar Heel team compared to a 1-1 Tar Heel team, would feel a little bit different. Let me give you one here. Cal. You got a new coach. They open up with UCLA, then go to Syracuse, then play Wagner. If they can either beat UCLA or Syracuse on the road, they're 2-1. That feels different than being 1-2. They get beat by Nico, and Bob Chaney. And then if they make the long trip east and Fran Brown puts it on them, then that feels different at 1-2 with your only win against Wagner. 2-1 or Lord forbid, 3-0. Momentum, everybody's is talking about the Tosh Bosh or whatever, and everybody's great and everybody's high on the program.
Home underdog.
Yeah.
Yep.
Friday night, like tens of people showing up. That feels different. Miami's the one that's not going to feel any different because Miami's going to be undefeated. Miami's going to beat Stanford on the road. They're going to beat Florida A&M. They're going to beat Wake Forest. They're going to beat Central Michigan. They're going to be ranked about third in the country. And what's Miami right now? What's their preseason? They're number – in the coaches' poll, they're 7. A couple teams – they'll be about 5 in the country, and they're going to be undefeated. That's not – that doesn't matter. Charleston Southern doesn't matter. But so now we get to the point where it starts to matter to me, all right? Virginia Tech is October the 24th. Virginia Tech in year one under James Franklin. Let's assume like the Drunkenmeyer, the Penn State quarterback goes well, Hawkins goes well, Andre Green goes well. Let me give you their schedule. Before this is pre-Clemson. You've got 7 games. Was that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 7 games. VMI, Old Dominion, at Maryland, at Boston College, Pittsburgh, at Cal, and Georgia Tech. So let me give you the two opposite. What's the best case and the worst case they could be for that game, Virginia Tech?
I could see them undefeated at that point in time.
I can too. If Lane Stadium's rocking, they could beat Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh at home, at Maryland, at Boston College. That's not Everest. At Cal, that's not Everest. But also, like, if they're undefeated and they're coming to Clemson, like James Franklin, people believing in it, like he would have doubled their win total from last year before the October 24th game. On the other side of it, though, what happens if you lay an egg at Maryland or at Boston College and then Pittsburgh beats you on a Friday night, you go up to Cal, long trip hurts you, and then Georgia Tech, and now you're 2-4? I think you're anywhere from 2-4 to 6-0. The point, Ashby Mixon, is a game against a 2-4 Hokie team feels a complete 180 difference than a 6-0 Hokie team. Make sense?
It's a big deal that game is at Memorial Stadium.
Yes.
Regardless.
Irregardless,
especially,
yes.
Especially if they can, you know, beat Pitt, go out to Cal, get a win, beat Georgia Tech. Because I think those three games, they're going to drop one of them because that's 3 weeks in a row. But if you come in there 6-1 or 7-0 to Clemson, that's a lot different than Clemson going there and they're fired up
100%.
For the first time in years.
Got Metallica out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Regardless of record, irregardless of record,
yes.
I'm happy that game's at Clemson.
I agree 100%. Even though Clemson has kind of owned Lane Stadium as of late. All right. This is a great example of one. Florida State, October the 31st in Doak Campbell. Let me give you Florida State's schedule. Give me best case, worst case. New Mexico State, SMU on Labor Day. Open date at Alabama, Central Arkansas, Virginia, at Louisville, at Miami.
All right, let's do it.
Give me the best case scenario. They're not going to beat SMU and Bama and Louisville and Miami.
No.
Right? All right, so
this could be.
Could it win two of those?
This could be bad. This could be really bad for our Seminoles, everyone. Don't feel good about SMU. Alabama's an L. Think Virginia, Louisville, and Miami could be L's. Right. Realistically.
Best case. Like, it goes great.
Okay.
Like, Ashton Daniels is actually can throw a four pass.
All right.
Like, it's great.
So you got two wins in New Mexico State and Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
SMU could be a win. Virginia and Louisville could be wins. So I think.
So you lose at Miami and at Alabama.
Best case scenario.
They're 5-2. All right. Then let's go worst case. SMU could beat them. Bama could beat them. Virginia could beat them. Louisville could beat them. And Miami could beat them. Three of those are on the road. Bama, Louisville, and Miami are on the road. Okay. You could be 2-5. And at 2-5, not Mike Norvell is not coaching Florida State. You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
That game feels 100% different. 100% different. We got to fly through these. Let me tell you about Brad Hughes. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, BradHughesInsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Combine your auto and your home. Do this. Talk to Brad. He's going to help you out. You're going to love Allstate. Then it's at Syracuse. The Dome can be rocking or not. New Hampshire, Cal, at Pitt, at UConn, at Virginia, Louisville, at North Carolina, SMU, and Clemson. I don't think it's going to go great for Fran Brown. I think they lose at Pittsburgh. I think they lose to Virginia on the road, North Carolina on the road, lose to Louisville and SMU at home. Like, I don't think that's going to be – I've seen the Dome rocking. I've been to the Dome about five times now. I've seen it rocking. I've seen it where it's a ghost town. I think it's going to be a ghost town.
You think they lose to North Carolina?
On the road?
Yeah.
Toss up. Even give them that one. SMU lost, Louisville lost, at Virginia lost, at Pittsburgh lost. So that's – what's that, 4-4?
Yep.
Not good. Georgia Tech's a great – I don't think Tech's will be very good. But that game's at home. Quick win game for Tech, or best case, worst case for Tech. I love Brent Key, but I just feel like he lost too much, and it kind of lost the momentum of the whole thing there. If I can find Georgia Tech in my schedules here.
They start with Colorado.
Yeah.
Then you got Tennessee. Then Mercer. So at this point, I think you're 2-1.
Yep.
Then Stanford, Duke, Virginia Tech. 4-2.
Yeah.
Boston College, Pittsburgh.
They're going to lose
5-3. So yeah. They're 5-3 coming to Clemson.
The games at Clemson, not big deal there. Duke, I don't feel good about Duke. You feel good about Duke at all?
I feel better about them than I do about Georgia Tech.
You do?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Tulane at Illinois, Stanford, William & Mary, at Georgia Tech, North Carolina, at Virginia, Boston College, at NC State, at Miami. Coming off a loss to Miami. And the games in Durham. You know, that could be one. South Carolina.
This is a question.
Yep. The Gamecocks, much like the Florida State deal, they could be riding high and feeling good about themselves and proving that they kind of like they did the last time they came in here. Or Shane Beamer could be gone. Can I talk you into – I told you I don't like Alabama. Can I talk you into South Carolina – losing Oklahoma, losing to Georgia, and maybe one more, and being like 8-3, Kentucky 8-3.
I would have to be heavily persuaded.
All right, can I talk you into losing to Mississippi State, losing to Bama, losing to Kentucky, losing to Florida, losing to Tennessee, losing to Oklahoma, A&M, Georgia, like 3-8 again?
Yeah, you could talk me into that.
And Beamer not being the coach?
I think they're probably at about 6 wins.
All right, here's a final question for you then.
All right.
If one coach is not coaching against Clemson this year, would you say Mike Norvell on October the 31st or Shane Beamer on November the 28th?
I think the issue with Norvell is that they couldn't pay him to start off with. That's why he's still coming back. But if you're at a point where Florida State is that awful again, you're not going to be against Mike Norvell.
Interesting concepts, though, right? When you play someone being different.
This year, I am so glad Clemson plays LSU first and South Carolina at the end.
Great point. It would have been different last year.
Flip them last year.
Yeah, who knows? 2 minute drill. Best music of the day? Question mark. Do we have the best music of the day, maybe?
Hold, please.
Okay. Let me tell you about Eric Newton. How Bard Real Estate Needs, EricNewton.com. The best in the business at Clemson, EricNewton.com. I saw Jeff Scott last night. Jeff Scott's been coaching Drake in baseball this year. So I'll tell you a lot about Newton Scott Associates, building your next home for you. Michael Jackson. Little Michael Jackson. Jackson 5. I like that. 2 minutes, Joe. What do you have for me?